So, Craig, a couple of years ago, Citrix had made the decision to make Zen Server free.
Yep.
What effect have you seen that have on Zen Server business overall and the business as it affects Citrix partners?
Sure. So as it affects the partners, you know, it's created a really great play out there. As you know, there's a bunch of services associated with doing any server virtualization, project. But really, helping a customer to take some of that decision making out by offering a really robust free product has opened up a lot of great services opportunities for the partners. It's also allowed them to capitalize on maintenance events and things like that, where they can help customers free up a bucket of money to go do something else with. Hopefully is that desktop virtualization, right? So over the last couple of years, the uptake of Zen Server is pretty tremendous. You don't generate a ton of revenue off of a free product, but it's been a really great play for the channel, I think, in particular, and that they can drive a lot of services.
What are some of the specific services that you're seeing come out of the Zen Server?
Well,
besides the Zen Desktop?
Right. Well, so the services that the partners are seeing is obviously the implementation and design and all that work around doing the server virtualization piece, right? So that's been really great for them to help just drive the virtualization message wider, with the partner set. I think that's been the bulk of it, and then that's helped open the doors, I think, for more Zen Desktop deployments, which is more of our primary focus.
Do you have any figures or rough estimates in terms of how the services revenue has grown because of this?
So we haven't generated services ourselves.
The partner services.
The partners have, yeah. So it's really tough for me to gauge that because it's, their relationships with their customers. So, the evidence that I've got there is more anecdotal. But there have been several decent-sized deals that have come out of that, where they've either done a new server virtualization implementation, or switched it from one of the other guys that, again, allowed them to free up some cash and then do something else with it. One of the instances I've seen was out here in California, actually, and it was a city government, and they had a large maintenance bill due, really was working with the other vendor to try and reduce that bill, and they weren't able to do it, and the city needed to save some money, so they went ahead and flipped it, saved a bunch of money, and gave about 30% of that money to the partner to actually do the services, but then freed up a whole bunch of money to go do something new, which in this case was desktop virtualization. So it's really helped us expand the footprint.
The growth of Zen Server, is it mostly new businesses that are just exploring virtualization? Is it existing VMware or Hyper-V shops that are looking for solutions in branch offices or certain departments?
Sure.
Is it a mix of those?
So, again, it's relatively anecdotal, but to my knowledge, I've never heard of anybody switching off Hyper-V moving to Zen Server. I've seen people looking at both and deciding which one to use in kind of a new implementation.
Well, you have that partnership with Microsoft anyway, where
for sure
it probably wouldn't make a ton of sense to do that. If you wanted to take advantage of Citrix management or other things on top of that, you'd be able to do that and not need to switch the underlying hypervisor.
That's right. So we've got a great partnership there, and I think that works, very well. For the customers that want to go ahead and adopt Hyper-V, that's good for us. That's good for us too. Where we see the most adoption of Zen Server in particular, though, is really in two places. So one is new desktop virtualization deployments. So it's the underlying hypervisor a lot of times. Starting to see Hyper-V pick up there quite a bit, though. And then we also see it in the cloud. So whether it's open source Zen or the Zen Server product, we see it in the cloud quite a bit.
That's what I've heard from partners here too. That service providers have taken a liking to it. Why do you think that is? Is it because of its open source roots, or?
I think there's a few reasons. So, the cloud providers, are thinking scale, and the things they really like about our product is, it's relatively thin, and it's very fast and scalable. Compared to I think the other offerings out there. So I think that's very attractive. I think free rings a message there too, because those guys are just starting up. I think it's the thinness and the just robustness of the free product.
What kind of demand are you seeing from customers for Zen Desktop and Zen App in terms of types of customers, sizes of customers, use cases?
Yeah, it's really across the board. You know, so our offerings have always been very horizontal. You know, our biggest verticals, which I think are pretty much everybody's biggest verticals, are financial services and healthcare in particular. You know, so there's lots of momentum in healthcare around electronic medical records implementations, and a lot of our healthcare ISV partners, you know, support a virtualized solution, you know, and now support and endorse Zen Desktop in particular.
I know that healthcare ISVs haven't always been the most open-armed when it comes to virtualization. Is that changing at all?
Well, I mean, they have been with us in terms of Zen App traditionally. You know, so the like, you know, the biggest folks out there in healthcare, whether you're talking about, you know, Cerner, McKesson, you know, the Allscripts, Eclipses kind of combination now, they've always been really great partners of ours. And the sales motion there feels a lot like kind of an OEM sales motion. They don't always do our implementations out in the field, so that's where the kind of VAR CSA partners come in, and they get to play a role there. So it's been really, really good with them. There's also a lot of stimulus money out there around healthcare to help them get to electronic medical records type solution, and you know, they can get there faster with our technology, and so that's actually driven a lot of sales for us too. So you know, the big ISVs are probably, I mean, I don't have specific data on this, but it feels like they're driving about a third of those healthcare sales, you know, through all the stimulus, etc. But then the CSAs, you know, are really going gangbusters too on the healthcare side. So that's been a big one. However, you know, across every industry, we've had nice adoption with Zen Desktop. So it's easy to call out those two because they're just massive verticals, right? But you know, really good success across the board. You know, we had our trade up promotion last year, so that allowed a lot of people a very easy way to move over and, you know, start to kind of dipping their toe in the desktop virtualization market. And you know, a lot of those deployments are now going very well. So, you know, there was a compelling event last year, but now we've still got a really nice trade-up motion, you know, to move over from Zen App to Zen Desktop. You know, another one that we see a lot is in education. So, you know, virtualizing a lab or a university campus, you know, things like that. But, you know, again, those are ones that jump out because they're big, but really across all the verticals, it's...
What kind of services opportunities are you seeing around Zen App and Zen Desktop? Obviously, there's the basic, you know, implementation and everything, but are there additional things that partners can do to add value for their customers in terms of managing, securing, dealing with compliance and some of those verticals that you mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, so the services opportunities with Zen Desktop are really some of the biggest service offerings or service opportunities that we have. You know, so a message coming out of this conference is, you know, we want people to continue to focus on that Zen Desktop motion, you know, and kind of move our install base up to Zen Desktop and continue growing the Zen Desktop base. But while you're doing that, there's a great opportunity to put our networking solutions around, you know, either Zen App or Zen Desktop, around the virtualization solution to provide high availability and global server load balancing. And for a lot of our partners who maybe didn't grow up in the networking world, it's a great opportunity for them to get involved because it's, you know, when you do a global server load balancing solution, you know, for high availability around, say, Zen Desktop, it's a little more in their comfort zone, you know, because it's with all these technologies that work together very, very well. And so it's a great entree, you know, into networking for them. But if you think about desktop virtualization, you know, I'm taking a desktop from, you know, the end user device and I'm putting it up in the sky somewhere, there's a lot of pieces involved, right? There's the apps, there's all the data that goes along with that, so you get to touch, you know, storage. Network obviously plays a huge, huge role. It needs to be, you know, in pretty good shape. So really almost every piece of a customer's infrastructure gets touched by a desktop virtualization project, which opens up just a ton of services opportunities for the partners because, you know, they're going to find things along the way where they can help out. And most of our partners, you know, aren't only Citrix partners, so there's just more opportunities for everything in their bag. So it's really, really great for our partners on the services front. You know, Zen App before had a little bit of that, but Zen Desktop is just so much more robust and there's so much more technology there that we can wrap a services project around. So it's really great for them.
One of the things that Citrix announced today was the service provider automation pack for Zen App. And can you talk a little bit about that and what the opportunity there is for your service provider partners as well as for your resellers? And
For sure. So one of the big things you get out of that automation pack is the ability to take a server-based desktop and make it look like a Windows 7 desktop. So, you know, with our FlexCast technology, we give you a lot of different ways that you can virtualize a desktop. You can do it in a traditional VDI type of model where I've got lots of virtual desktop operating systems in the data center. I can virtualize the entire OS on the endpoint device and just stream that down. We see a lot of K-12 do that, where they've got a lab with all the same PCs and they blast that image down there every time the new class comes in. We've got our Zen client technology, which is the endpoint hypervisor technology to allow you to have, say, a personal environment and a work environment, and the two don't meet on the end user device. And what we're asking our partners to do is really figure out which one of those deployment methods fits the use case the best. And the one that provides the absolute best total cost of ownership is the hosted shared model, which is the traditional terminal server, server OS that just scales much, much better on the hardware side. So in a typical desktop virtualization, like a VDI type of deployment, a typical two processor server loaded up with memory, it depends on what you're doing, right? But you might get, say, 50 sessions, maybe 50 or 75 sessions on that server. With the same workload, I'll probably get over 300 sessions on that same server if I'm doing it, using ZenApp, a hosted shared desktop on a server OS, because there's only one copy of the OS running. So it scales much, much better. And so that's great for the service providers. It also helps on the Microsoft licensing front, because that licensing is much more straightforward than the virtual desktop licensing.
Is the licensing the same reason that it's a modified Windows Server OS as opposed to actual Win 7?
Well, so our very first product 20 years ago was that same server OS, and it was just a desktop displayed from that server. And so it's really the technology that comes from the combination of terminal services plus ZenApp that gives you that. And like I said, it's just much more scalable. And that's the product set that we've been selling for 20 years plus here at Citrix. And so the licensing is just more tried and true. We've got that hammered out fairly well with Microsoft.
The other big news today was that Citrix acquired Caviza.
Yes.
What does that bring to the table for partners, especially partners who are trying to go after the SMB market?
Yeah, that's where it's at. So, to be frank, I think the our current Zen desktop offerings, they're a little much for an SMB, especially on the S side of SMB.
And not even just yours. Traditional virtual desktop infrastructure in general is like that, just because of the infrastructure you need to support it.
You bet. So it doesn't necessarily fit there. Where the Caviza product set really fits very nicely there, and it's very simple. It's easy to install. And a lot of our channel plays in that space. They have a lot of customers there whose needs aren't addressed. So it really opens up that market, where that market almost doesn't exist to them, no matter who they're using for desktop virtualization, it's not there. And I think now with this product set, it's going to be opened up for them, which is great, because it's totally incremental for us and them.
Do a lot of Citrix partners currently sell Caviza, and what are you going to do to integrate the two partner systems?
Right. So I don't know the specific answer there in terms of how many of them currently sell that. I'm not as in touch with their revenue and how much of that's going on. What we will do is start incorporating that into our partner programs that we have today, as it makes sense. So they may not look exactly the same, but it'll be the same flavor of programs that you'll see across that product line.
And will there be training for partners to get them familiar?
For sure. And I imagine for that product, it's going to lend itself very nicely to online, kind of at your own pace sort of training, which the partners love too.
My last question is dealing with cloud. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get through a whole interview without mentioning it. It seems like a couple of years ago when cloud was first starting, partners were all like, how are we going to make money on this? There's nothing for us to resell or add value to, because it's all, up somewhere in the sky. What's your message now that there's a better understanding of how it's going to work to partners in terms of how they can make money on the cloud?
Sure. So as end user customers start transitioning to cloud-based services, I don't think anybody believes that's going to happen overnight. So there's going to be some transition period where some of my technology continues to reside in-house and I kind of bridge the gap. As I get further along that cycle and I have this hybrid model, you know, we have technology, our cloud bridge technology, you know, allows you to kind of do both, and it helps facilitate that. And certainly you're going to need, you know, the assistance of the experts on site, you know, from our partners to help get you there. You know, at the same time, a lot of our partners are starting to spin up their own managed services offerings, you know, which could include hosted virtual desktops, you know, through our Citrix service provider program, you know, which has been ramping up also. So there's a couple of ways, I think, that, you know, the partners help us bridge the gap, you know, and help the customers bridge the gap until it becomes more of a managed service world. And it, you know, and the partners are creating their own, too. It's nice to know that your managed service is right down the street instead of, you know, on the other side of the country.
Craig Stillwell, thanks for your time.
Yeah, you bet.